Thank you. It's great to be here. How are we doing, Milwaukee? There we go. So, we had an event earlier today. Please take a seat. Take a seat. We had an event earlier today at the Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. Beautiful place. Like, I gotta be honest, I had a little bit of PTSD because the last time that I was in that hotel was the 2024 RNC convention. And if y'all remember, I flew to Milwaukee the Monday morning that the RNC convention starts, and I get there, and I have no idea if I'm the VP nominee or not. So I get to my hotel, which is not the Pfister, it's at the other hotel for the RNC convention, and I get a phone call. Actually, it was a text message from Susie Wiles, who is the campaign manager in 2024, and the text message says, JD, you just missed a very important phone call. I'm like, oh no. So I call the President of the United States, and I say, sir, I hear I missed an important phone call. And he said, JD, you did miss a very important phone call, and now I'm going to have to pick somebody else. And like, you know, my entire body clenches up. I'm like, is this real? And then at the same time, my seven-year-old, who's now nine, but at the time, my seven-year-old boy is talking to me about Pokemon cards. So I'm trying to talk to the President of the United States about becoming the vice presidential nominee. And meanwhile, my seven-year-old is talking to me about Charmander cards, and I have no idea what's going on. But so walking through the Pfister Hotel, I've got this, like, moment of remembrance of the moment where I almost missed the president's phone call. But here I am. It worked out. I'm the Vice President of the United States, thanks to you. So we're here to talk about fraud. We're here to talk about protecting your taxpayer money. And most importantly, we're here to talk about protecting the programs that exist that are funded by the generosity of the people in this room and that ought go to the people they're meant for and not to make fraudsters rich. It's a very, very simple principle. Now, there are a lot of people that I have to thank and make this work possible. And first of all, I've got to thank our great CMS administrator, Dr. Oz. Where is Dr. Oz at? He might be backstage, but Dr. Oz and our team at the Fraud Task Force, Kim Brandt and Scott Brady. Kim and Scott, please give a round of applause to these guys. They have protected more of your money than anybody. Now, we could not have done what we did were it not for the support of our incredible congressional allies. We're going to talk a little bit about the fact that we've saved you all billions and billions of dollars that was going to fraudsters. That's money in your pocket, which is exactly where it belongs. But we couldn't do that without a couple of great congressional representatives. And in particular, I've got to give a shout out to Representative Brian Stile. Where is Brian Stile? Please stand up, man. He has been a phenomenal champion for the state of Wisconsin. He has taken the fraud issue more seriously than anybody. So, Brian, thank you so much for what you're doing. I've also got to give a shout out to our great representative, Derek Van Orden. Derek, please stand up. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And I got to say, it would be so nice to have a governor in this incredible state, one of the most beautiful states in the union, especially this time of year. I love Wisconsin, or as you guys say, Wisconsin. Love Wisconsin. But we have got to have a governor who takes fraud as seriously as the president of the United States, who's trying to save your money as much as we are in Washington. And that's Tom Tiffany. Tom Tiffany is who we got to elect the next governor. And I also want to give a shout out to Representative Glenn Grothman. Where is Glenn at? Glenn, thank you for everything that you're doing. God bless you. And then Representative Tony Weed. Where is Tony at? Tony, thank you so much, man. So proud of you. And of course, he's a little far away from home, but our representative, or not yet a representative, run up for North. Look, this stand up. Good-looking guy, young guy, is going to make the next great congressman. So here's the crazy thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have two parties that disagree about tax policy or regulatory policy. We've got a party that is fighting for fraud and a party that is fighting against fraud. And I don't know about you, but how about we give more authority, more power, and more influence to the party that is trying to save your money and send the fraudsters to prison? That's all we're trying to do. Now, let me talk about a few of the things that we've been accomplishing here. So the very day after the State of the Union address, where the president makes me the leader of the anti-fraud task force, what we do is we go about the business of stopping these companies that are set up to provide durable medical equipment. You know, this is hospital beds, oxygen tanks, things like that, things that the American people need, and the Medicare program exists to ensure that our seniors have access to. Now, what happens, though, is that there are people setting up these programs, setting up companies that sell durable medical equipment, and they're not selling a single product, but they are billing for lots of product. Billions and billions of dollars was being billed to you, was being billed to the program that exists to ensure that our seniors have health care. And you know what that means. Number one, the fraudsters were getting rich, but number two, our seniors who desperately needed those resources, who needed the hospital beds and the oxygen tanks, they weren't getting them because the fraudsters were getting rich off the generosity of the American taxpayer. So you know what we did? We came in and we said, we are not sanctioning a single one of these companies to defraud the American people. If you say that you're going to provide medical equipment to our seniors, we're going to confirm that you're actually delivering product before we pay a single one of those bills. And we save billions of dollars. And you know what happened is we had great support from Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden and all of the other great congressional representatives to keep that money out of the hands of fraudsters to ensure that it went to the seniors who needed it. And you know what happened? Not a single congressional Democrat stood up and said, we are going to fight back against fraud. And that's the problem with modern congressional Democrats. You know, I was raised by blue-collar Democrats. They were Christian, patriotic people, union steel workers who loved the United States of America. But my mamma and papa, the people who raised me, they supported Democrats because they felt like the Democrats of 20, 30, 40 years ago had better policy. Now, you may agree or disagree with that, but today, this is not about better or worse policy. This is about who is supporting the fraudsters and who's supporting you. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Mamaw and Papaw were alive today, they would not recognize the modern Democratic Party in 2026. They would not recognize a party that tries to send your money to illegal aliens instead of our hardworking seniors who earned those benefits and ought to have access to them. They would not recognize a party that raises your taxes so that we can give more money to the fraudsters, and they would not recognize a party that rewards the fraudsters rather than sending them to prison. So I ask you a very simple question. When you come to vote in November, are you going to vote for the pro-fraud party? Are you going to vote for the party who is sending your tax money to the fraudsters? No, we're going to support the party that is sending the fraudsters to jail and is protecting your money. We're going to vote for Derek Van Orden and for Brian Stile. Now, I want to talk about another fraud crackdown, and this is almost hard to believe. But, you know, we have a program called the H-1B visa program. This goes to show how broad-based the fraud task force is we're fighting for your taxpayer money, but we're also making sure that fraudsters don't take advantage of these visa programs. Now, why does this program exist? This is a visa program that was set up to ensure that if you were a brilliant technology person or a brilliant scientist or a brilliant doctor, you could come to the United States and get access to this visa program. But you know what's happening way too much? is that big corporations and fraudsters overseas are using this program to undercut the wages of American workers. So you know what we're doing in the Trump administration? We're saying no more. If you are trying to take advantage of that visa program, you are not allowed into the United States of America. Today, I'm proud to announce that the Federal Department of Labor has started dozens of subpoenas and investigations into foreign fraudsters who are trying to take advantage of the H-1B visa program. Here's a simple principle. Ladies and gentlemen, American jobs ought to go to American workers and not foreign fraudsters, and the Department of Labor is fighting back against it. Now here, I want to talk about something else here. To my right, to your left, this is a program, again, there is so much fraud, or there was so much fraud in the federal government, we're taking it off of the books, but so much fraud, I didn't even know this program existed, okay? So what is allografts? These are the, you know, skin grafts that people get when they get a wound or they get a burn, a very, very important medical procedure. But a medical procedure that was being radically taken advantage of. So if you go back to 2019, 2020, 2021, you see less than $1 billion is paid for these skin grafts. Again, these are very important procedures for the people who need them. What happens under the Biden administration? All of a sudden, we go from less than $1 billion spent on these skin grafts to $15 billion in 2025. And actually, in 2026, the number was supposed to be $25 billion. But because we cut down on fraudulent payments and fraudulent billing, we saved you $25 billion. That number is now well below $1 billion today. That's a simple, good government action. And again, my friends, we want the people who deserve these treatments, who need these treatments, to have access to them. If we spend all your money giving these treatments to fraudsters instead of giving them to the people who need them, then those programs aren't going to exist anymore. And I just have this very, look, we're a generous country. I love that we're a generous country. My family sometimes benefited from these programs that ensured that poor children would have a bite to eat or would be able to see a doctor. I sometimes had a meal because the American people were generous enough to say that we're not going to let our young American kids go hungry because their parents can't afford a bite to eat. I think that's an amazing, amazing thing about our great country, is we're generous enough to lend a helping hand to our fellow citizens in need. But when we allow, when your government allows, whether in the state or the federal level, when we allow that money that ought by rights go to feed poor children, but instead goes to fraudsters, we destroy the social fabric of the United States of America. So what I take very seriously as your vice president, what Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile take very seriously as your congressional representatives, and what Donald Trump takes seriously as the president of the United States, is this sacred promise that it exists between the government of the United States and its citizens. That when you pay your tax dollars, it goes to the people who need it, not to the fraudsters, which is why we're throwing those fraudsters in prison. It's exactly where they belong. Let me talk about another program. So we have, again, these things that I didn't even know existed until I got into politics. We have a program, an amazing program, to help young mothers. And I care about this very personally. Usha is currently pregnant with baby number 4. She is 37 weeks pregnant, and I appreciate your prayers. I love you, honey, if you're watching at home. But we have a program to ensure that at-risk moms can get the prenatal care that they need. Now, you may not know this, but one of the leading causes of infant mortality in the world is actually not what happens when the baby is born. It's what happens before the baby is born, when the mom can't get the medical treatment she needs, when the mom can't get access to the resources that she needs. Okay, we try to solve that problem. And again, we are able to do so in part because of the generosity of the American taxpayer. But you know what? In Milwaukee, with the government of this state looking the other way, we had people who were allowing fraudsters to get rich off of that prenatal care without providing a dime of services to the young moms who need it. And I want to point to this woman. Now, I want to be clear that the woman in the back did nothing wrong. But look at this woman in the front with the smug look and the Louis Vuitton bag. A woman who quite literally stole from young mothers who needed prenatal care, and the state of Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, had to scale down that program because of insufficient funds. So that this woman could go and buy a Louis Vuitton bag, there were young mothers in Wisconsin who did not get access to the prenatal care that they needed. That endangers the moms, that endangers the babies. And you know what? Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile fought against it, and the congressional Democrats that they go to work with every single day fought for it. So here's a simple question, here's a simple principle. If you fight to take money away from needy moms and give it to this woman and her Louis Vuitton bags, you should have your ass thrown the hell out of Washington, D.C. You don't belong there. You don't belong anywhere in a position of influence. And I'm sorry, excuse my language. I know we got a couple of kids in the audience. My wife, I love her. She gets on me all the time because I was raised by a gun-toting, F-bomb-dropping grandmother. And we've got an F-bomb dropping grandmother right over here, I can tell. And, you know, old habits die hard, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'll say. Even as vice president, old habits die hard, but I try to work on it. I try to work on it. And here's what I want to close with, and we'll take some questions from the reporters. We have an opportunity to keep the momentum of the last couple of years, and particularly the last few months. We can keep on fighting fraud, or we can reward the fraudsters. We can kick criminal illegal aliens out of our country, or we can reward people for stealing your tax money. We can protect those moms who need that prenatal care, or we can give it away to people who are trying to take advantage of you and take advantage of the system. This is not a normal election because we're not running against people who maybe have different ideas about tax policy or regulatory policy. To the people watching at home, I understand you're of course not going to agree with the president and the vice president about every single issue. But what I hope we can all agree on is the simple principle that the people's government exists to fight for the people and not the fraudsters. So, thank you. So please help us out by sending Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile back to Washington, D.C. Keep the pro-fraud party out of Washington. Keep these guys fighting for you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's an honor to be here. Now, I'm going to take some questions here. But it's funny, you know, sometimes people call, I got to make sure it's not the president. He's over at NATO right now. Okay, it's not the president. But let me start with the local reporters here and go ahead, guys, and fire away. I'm an open book. I'll answer any question.
Mr. Vice President, welcome to Milwaukee. Welcome to Wisconsin. Welcome back. I'm Julia Fellow with 620 WTMJ. You've been overseas. The president is just coming back from Turkey. Memorandum of understanding. We're looking at gas prices. What's going on with the Strait of Hormuz? The president was saying that he was going to strike tonight, like now. So can you tell us what is going on right now? Where are we with the war in Iran?
Yeah, so look, we made a deal with the Iranians, and we had to step back a little bit. Before you even get to the deal, the simple fact is, that thanks to the incredible efforts of our amazing U.S. military, to Pete Hegseth and Dan Kane, the President of the United States, just amazing people. But most of all, thanks to the troops, we came into the situation with maximum leverage and maximum strength. Their nuclear program was destroyed. Their conventional military was destroyed. And you've got some people within the Iranian system who are saying, you know what? We want to change our relationship with the United States. We want to turn over a new leaf. And the president said, okay, We will sit down at the table and negotiate and see if the smart people in that system can take over from the crazy people. Well, here's the basic deal that we cut. The basic deal that we cut was, we'll lift our blockade if you stop shooting at ships. But if you shoot at ships, we are going to punch back, and we're going to punch back harder than ever before. That was the deal. They said they would stop shooting at ships. And what happened 24 hours ago? They started shooting at ships again. Now, they were good. They were well-behaved for about a week. But then they started shooting at ships. So the deal is very simple. If they shoot at ships, we're going to knock the hell out of them. And it's that simple. And that's the basic way it's going to work. Now, the president maintains a lot of options. I'm obviously not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen tonight, but the president has said to them very simply, the Strait of Hormuz is going to be open. That means oil and gas is going to flow to the American people. That's why we see gas prices starting to come down. That's why we see the oil prices so low, is because the president said that crucial artery through which we ship a lot of the world's energy, that artery has got to remain open. And that is what the Iranians have to know. If they try to close it down, there's going to be a response for the American military. It's that simple. That's the deal. They can either follow it, or they can have exactly what happened to them last night. It's just going to keep on happening until they open up that lane and stop shooting at ships. It's simple. Next.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Matt Smith from WISN-TV in Milwaukee. The president has talked about election fraud as well a lot. Just yesterday, Milwaukee's mayor sent your office a letter saying he would love to meet with you and some election officials here in the city after agents started asking questions and interviewing people about 2020 again. So I'm curious, what can you tell us about the FBI investigation here in Milwaukee into 2020, and why are they re-looking at that election here in the city?
Well, first of all, if I did get the letter from the mayor of Milwaukee, and he wants to meet, and he's welcome to come to Washington, D.C. I'll sit down and meet with him. We don't have time to meet with him today because we got to get back to Washington, but I'm happy to meet with him. I will say it was a little bit of a he doth protest too much, because I came here to talk about financial fraud. I came here to talk about the fraud against our prenatal program for our young moms. And some guy sends me a letter, the mayor of Milwaukee, and says, we don't do any election fraud, we don't do any election fraud, we don't do any election fraud. And my response to that is, you know what, it kind of reminds me of like a couple weeks ago, I get home to the Naval Observatory, the nicest public housing anywhere in the United States of America, and my six-year-old greets me, and I love my little boy, but he's a little mischievous, and he gives me a big hug, he says, Daddy, I'm glad you're home, I didn't steal any of the cookies. I said, huh, that's interesting that you volunteered that when I wasn't even talking about that. Well, of course, he stole the cookies. So when I hear a guy protesting out of nowhere, I did not do any election fraud, I did not do any election fraud, it makes me wonder, why is that guy protesting so aggressively? It's a little odd. The second thing I'll say is, look, there's, of course, this big debate about how much election fraud happens in the United States of America. You guys know my views. We're not going to settle this here. First of all, any election fraud is too much election fraud in the world's greatest and oldest constitutional republic. And number two, if Democrats want us to stop talking about election fraud, I make them a simple deal. Pass the Save America Act and get voter ID, and we'll stop talking about election fraud. We are the only advanced democracy anywhere in the entire world that doesn't require you to show a voter ID to vote. It's simple. Just give us election integrity laws, give us voter ID, and then we will have the confidence to say to the American people there's no cheating. But when they say, number one, we don't want voter ID, and number two, there's not that much cheating in our elections, it's natural for all of us to say, not much cheating is still way too much cheating, so stop it and give the American people voter ID. Thank you. Next question.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Vanessa Kelson, Gray Media. What will happen if Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers does not hand over the SNAP rolls or the Medicaid enrollment data to your administration?
Well, look, we're going to look at what we can do to force him to give her that data. And just to give some context to the question for those of you who don't know. So the SNAP program, which is one of the most important programs that exists in the federal government, it ensures that low-income families have enough food to eat when they're down on their luck. Would you be shocked to know that most states do not do eligibility checks for the SNAP rolls anywhere? Doesn't happen in California, doesn't happen in a lot of other places. I'm the Vice President of the United States, and I could not tell you, not because I don't want to, but I cannot tell you whether the state of Wisconsin has illegal aliens who are ineligible, who are receiving food stamp benefits paid for by your tax dollars. And the reason why I don't know the answer is because the governor of this state will not give us the data that allows us to say, well, this person is eligible, this person is an illegal alien, scratch them off the list. Now ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, that is, in my view, borderline criminal. If you are administering a program collecting billions and billions of dollars and you don't check whether the people you're giving that money to are actually entitled to it, that is a complete scam that's being perpetrated on every single person in this room. So what we've asked the governor to do is just give us the data so that we can check whether you've got illegal aliens on your food stamp rolls, and he's saying absolutely not. And I think the only plausible explanation for that is that he cares more about protecting illegal aliens than he does the good citizens of Wisconsin. It's a scam, and it has to stop. Let's do a couple more questions. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Vice President. Ellie La Liberté, Channel 3, out of Madison. Now, last month, the Wisconsin Department of Justice joined a multi-suit lawsuit against the Trump administration over its implementation of new Medicaid work requirements. Our attorney general wrote, quote, the Trump administration is lawlessly trying to restrict access to Medicaid coverage. What's your response?
Well, my response is, again, we have what you might call a social contract in the United States of America. It exists between all of us fellow citizens, between those citizens and their government. And the basic idea is when I hand over a dollar to the federal government, I expect my government officials to spend it wisely, to make sure it's not going to fraud. And if you have somebody who is receiving those benefits, to make sure that they're at least looking for a job before they get a lot of free money from the federal government. So when I hear the Attorney General of this state saying that we don't want to confirm that people are looking for work before they receive federal benefits, my natural question is, why are you so against people looking for a job? That's it. We're not saying that we want anybody to go without medical benefits. What we're saying is that we want you, if you're going to receive these benefits, we want you at least to try to find a job. And I think in the same way that every single person in this room and every single taxpaying citizen of Wisconsin hands their money over to the government, it's totally reasonable for them to expect the beneficiaries of that money to at least be looking for work. That's the contract. And if you violate that contract, you shouldn't get a dime of federal money. Why don't we do one more question?
Hi, I'm Mary Spicuzza with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper. My coworker and I started investigating prenatal fraud here in Milwaukee almost a decade ago, and we noticed that state officials started investigating federal officials, federal prosecutors. So two-part question, do you think because all those people came together, is that an example of people working together and doing what they're supposed to do? And what do you do now to make sure that the women and babies who are supposed to be getting help are actually getting help?
Yeah, so first of all, the most important way to ensure that the people who deserve the help, who need the help, actually get it, is to cut down on the fraud. Because money doesn't grow on trees, and there are limited resources. This is one of the reasons why I personally care so much about fraud. I want to save every single one of you money, but I also want to ensure that when a young mom goes in to get some prenatal vitamins and she can't afford them, she's able to get access to them because a fraudster hasn't taken advantage of that program. Part of what we're trying to do is to ensure that these programs exist for the next generation. Look, just take one of the biggest the biggest federal programs out there, Social Security. People pay into Social Security for their entire working lives. Every single day, or every 2 weeks, I should say, we get a paycheck, and we see on that paycheck the amount of money that is going to Social Security. I am worried that if we don't stop sending Social Security checks to illegal immigrants, the people who paid into it for their entire lives are never going to have access to that money. That's a scam, and it's totally unacceptable. So the most important thing we can do to ensure those benefits exist for the people who earned them is to make sure that the fraudsters don't get them, that the American people do. But you also asked about this mail fraud investigation, and absolutely, the answer to your question is yes. I think that's a great example of the federal government and the state government working together to cut down on fraud, and we want to see that model replayed and replicated on a number of programs. The problem is there are certain programs that, for whatever reason, most, not all, by the way, because I'll give great credit to the blue state governors who are working with us, but most blue state governors, if you want to check, for example, whether illegal aliens are getting food stamps, most of them are saying, we're not going to do that. If you want to check if illegal aliens are getting access to Medicaid health benefits, most of the blue state governors are not willing to do that. And I think it's just sad that this should be a bipartisan issue. If you're a Democrat and you believe that Medicaid should exist to provide good health benefits to people who can't afford them, then why don't you want to cut down on the fraud? If you care more about fraud than you do about these health benefits, it starts to make it look that you care more about illegal aliens than you do about the citizens of Wisconsin. That's what it looks like to me. So I'll say to the governor of this state, even though he's not of my political party, the attorney general, anybody else, you have a open offer to come into the White House and to talk about how we can combat fraud together. I will work with you. I will make it easier. I will give you federal resources. I will do whatever I need to do. But it's got to be a two-way street. If you're hiding the food stamp rolls because you don't want to tell us whether illegal aliens are getting food stamp, that's not cooperation. That is you hiding criminal conduct from the American people, and it's a scandal, and it absolutely has to stop. So let me just close here with an observation, and that's that, you know, we're getting into election season, and you all obviously care a lot about politics, and sometimes in election season, it starts to feel a little bit like red team and blue team. People look at the fundraising numbers, they read the media stories, you know, they read the scandals, particularly in Maine, if you're into political scandals. Might I recommend a Google search on Graham Plattner? But we ought to remember that this is not red team versus blue team. This is about whether the American people get wise and honest political leadership or whether they are represented by a bunch of crazy people in their Congress. Every 2 years, the American people get to vote on who represents them in the United States Congress and the United States Senate. Every 2 years, we come together as a country and make this determination together. My pitch to the voters out there, especially the voters who haven't made up their minds, on Derek Van Orden, on Brian Stile, on all of our great congressional representatives, it's not that you're going to agree with us every single time. Because nobody, even a committed Republican, is not going to agree with me on every single issue. It's not that we're always going to see eye to eye. What I will tell you is that what separates Derek Van Orden, Brian Stile, and all these great congressional representatives from their Democrat counterparts is that right now the Democrats don't even pretend to be fighting for you. Now, we could disagree, for example, about what should the police department's budget be. That's a reasonable, rational conversation for Republicans and Democrats to have. That's not the conversation that we're having. We're having the conversation about whether we support our police officers, which is what Republicans want to do, or whether we abolish police departments, which is what the Democrats are proposing to do. We can talk about what our exact immigration level should be. Of course, reasonable minds are going to disagree. But that's not the debate that we're having. The Democrats that are running today are running on abolishing ICE and opening up the American southern border. We can disagree. We can disagree about tax policy and what the optimal tax rate should be. That's not what they're doing. The Democrats are running on confiscating your money and giving it to fraudsters and illegal aliens. They openly brag about fighting not for you, but fighting for some of the worst human beings that exist anywhere in the world. This is not a normal election. And so my request to you is not that you say that the vice president is right about every issue. My request to you is that you send people to Washington who are of good character and recognize that you are their boss, not the fraudsters, not the illegal aliens, and not the bosses of the 21st century Democratic Party. There are a lot of Democrats out there, a lot of independents, and of course a lot of Republicans who look to Washington and don't recognize the congressional leadership of the Democratic Party in 2026. Well, I'd say to you, if you don't recognize that congressional leadership, you can join this movement. If you want an American political party that fights for the police instead of against them, vote for Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile. If you want an American political party that cuts your taxes instead of raising your taxes to give it to fraudsters, then you got to support Glenn Grothman and Tony Weed. If you want somebody who ensures that whether you're rich or poor or black or white, public safety should be the God-given right of every single American, that you ought to be able to walk down the street without the fear of being mugged, that you ought to be able to take your family to a nice dinner downtown without having your car jacked, if you believe in basic public safety for all of us, rich or poor, then send Michael Alfonso to Congress. Don't send the crazy person running against him. My point is that this is not a normal election of people who disagree about this or that issue. By and large, there are exceptions, of course, but by and large, the Democrats have thrown their lot in with the people who want to abolish the police, who want to open the border, and want to give your money to fraudsters instead of moms who need it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a simple request. When you go to the ballot in November, when you cast your vote, send us people to Washington, D.C. who fight for you and send the crazy people back home where they belong. God bless you, and thank you for having me here in Milwaukee. Detroit Auto Worker, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, Pittsburgh, steel mill worker, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down.
I'm good.
Okay. At least first. And
I'll check with the bridge just in case.
You can if you want. You shouldn't. I mean, because like the bridge is
nice. Break it down.
So I'm Captain Colfax told me this morning that like you just do what you don't want to do.
We are breaking down.
We are breaking. I told you, we hired the cold handle. We couldn't pull handle until it was off the stage. Give us 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Ok